Imagine a world where raising children isn't about molding them into predetermined adults, but creating fertile soil where they can flourish in their own unique ways. This revolutionary perspective forms the heart of developmental psychologist Alison Gopnik's work. The very word parenting first appeared in America only in 1958, reflecting a profound shift in how we view our relationship with children. This modern approach treats raising children as goal-directed work aimed at producing successful adults, what Gopnik calls the carpenter model, where parents attempt to shape raw material into a predetermined final product. This shift coincided with smaller families, greater mobility, and older first-time parents. Throughout most of human history, people grew up in extended families with many children, gaining extensive childcare experience before having their own. As these traditional support systems disappeared, parenting guides emerged to fill the gap, creating unprecedented anxiety for both children and parents. The irony? America, the epicenter of parenting expertise, provides less institutional support for children than any other developed nation, with the highest rates of infant mortality and child poverty in the developed world. From an evolutionary perspective, parents aren't designed to shape children's lives. Rather, they provide protected spaces where children can develop new ways of thinking and acting. While parents deeply influence children by providing stability and care, there's little evidence that specific parenting techniques reliably determine adult outcomes. Evolution explains children's inherent messiness. Random biological variation produces diverse temperaments and abilities, helping our species adapt to unpredictable environments. Having both cautious and risk-taking children benefits humanity. Conservative approaches work during stability, while risk-taking becomes vital during change. By producing varied offspring, humans ensure survival across different circumstances. This creates a tension between exploration and exploitation, a trade-off computer scientists recognize. The solution? Childhood. Protected childhood allows exploration. Adulthood enables exploitation. Young brains are physically designed for this purpose. Having twice as many neural connections as adult brains, with greater plasticity but weaker links. As we age, frequently used connections strengthen while unused ones fade. Young brains explore, adult brains exploit. Each generation represents noise that shakes up established patterns. Our unconditional love for children allows for continued variation and gives them space to be intellectually messy, to explore before exploiting, letting their ideas rather than themselves face elimination. Our love for children stems from our unique evolutionary history. Humans possess a care triple threat: pair bonding between adults raising children together, grandmothering by postmenopausal females, and alloparenting, where we care for non-biological children. Human pair bonding is rare, occurring in only about 5% of mammal species. Evidence of this evolutionary shift includes smaller testicles, less sexual dimorphism, and different finger length ratios compared to other great apes. Caring behaviors produce hormones like oxytocin and vasopressin, creating affection feedback loops. The grandmother hypothesis explains menopause. Post-reproductive women contributed to survival through extractive foraging while providing cultural knowledge and intellectual resources. Humans naturally care for unrelated children through cooperative breeding, with alloparents sharing responsibilities. In foraging societies, this village includes extended family and mothers who sometimes nurse each other's babies. Our paradoxical love for children manifests as unconditional commitment regardless of their traits, a seemingly irrational devotion reflecting an evolutionary strategy addressing the prisoner's dilemma of cooperation. Even the youngest children mimic adult behavior with deep understanding. They imitate intentional actions rather than accidental ones, reproducing the purpose behind actions rather than exact movements. Children sometimes outperform adults at learning. In Blicket detector experiments, 4-year-olds remained open to multiple possibilities when faced with ambiguous evidence, while college students clung to obvious explanations despite contradictory evidence. Children excel at considering unlikely possibilities, while adults rely on prior knowledge. Play presents a paradox. Universally recognized as beneficial, yet by definition, an activity without goals. It's characterized by accomplishing nothing practical, having distinctive patterns, being fun and voluntary, occurring only when basic needs are met, and following repetition with variation. Rough and tumble play serves important developmental purposes. Science confirms children's intuition that such play signifies friendship, with early roughhousing correlating with better social competence. Play-deprived rats can perform the same actions as play-experienced rats, but lack appropriate social responses. They know the steps, but can't master the dance. Pretending connects to counterfactual thinking, considering alternative possibilities, which is central to human learning. Children who pretend more develop enhanced understanding of other people's minds, or theory of mind. Humans uniquely learn through language. In addition to trial and error, accessing information about things too distant, large, small, or ancient to observe directly through listening, reading, and screens. Children develop sophisticated evaluation methods for information sources. 3-year-olds prefer confident speakers, 4-year-olds trust knowledgeable sources, and 5-year-olds recognize domain expertise, consulting doctors for medical questions and engineers for mechanical ones. Children's persistent why questions, preschoolers ask nearly 75 per hour, reflect genuine curiosity about causal relationships. Good explanations connect specific events to broader patterns, helping children apply knowledge to new situations. Even young children develop essentialism, viewing categories as deep, innate, and permanent from subtle language cues. Preschoolers believe natural categories have invisible essences that persist despite surface changes. Generic statements like birds fly or girls like dolls powerfully reinforce this essentialist thinking. Children transform remarkably around age 6, shifting from preschoolers' creativity to 8-year-olds' rationality. Evolutionarily, younger children explore while school-age children begin mastering cultural skills, especially social ones. Historically, mastery developed through apprenticeship, observing masters, practicing simplified versions, receiving feedback, and gradually tackling complexity, rather than formal schooling. Modern schools ironically relegate apprenticeship-style learning to extracurricular activities while teaching academic subjects through abstract instruction, explaining why many children excel at athletics but struggle academically. Children naturally vary in temperaments, interests, and abilities, an evolutionary advantage creating community flexibility. Yet schooling treats this variability as problematic, often pathologizing children who don't fit institutional demands. ADHD diagnoses have nearly doubled in 2 decades, with research linking high-stakes testing to increased diagnoses, particularly among poor children in public schools. The best metaphor for understanding our relationship to children is caring for a garden. Unlike the parenting model that resembles carpentry, shaping material into a predetermined product with success measured by control, gardening creates a protected space for plants to flourish despite inevitable surprises. Our greatest horticultural triumphs occur when gardens escape our control and plants unexpectedly thrive in unplanned places. A good gardener creates fertile soil that sustains an ecosystem of diverse plants with different strengths. Unlike a static chair, a garden constantly changes with circumstances. This varied, flexible system proves more robust than carefully tended hothouse blooms. From an evolutionary perspective, consciously trying to shape children is both futile and counterproductive. We can't know what challenges future generations will face, so molding children in our current image might prevent adaptation. What makes us love a child isn't something about the child, it's something about us. We don't care for children because we love them because we care for them. Our job is to provide protected spaces where unpredictable children can flourish by giving them toys and letting them learn.